All right. Whenever you're ready, Jared.
From ComedyFilmNerds.com. With Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora. Ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What planet are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's the actor.
Why can't this happen?
To Comedy Film Nerds episode
31 live
at the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. We have a crowd of over 10,000 people. They're standing on top of each other. It's amazing. We've had to rent out the stadiums. It's unbelievable what's going on here.
On Hoosiers.
On Hoosiers. What?
No, I said a lot of.
A lot of Hoosiers.
You know, this is how I knew I was in Indiana. When I was in the hotel room, I opened up the drawer and there were two Bibles in there.
Yeah, one's a Mormon, Book of Mormon.
One's Mormon, one's Gideon. And the thing is, they're not next to each other. They're each on opposite ends of the drawer. Like, they can't touch.
If they touch, they go into flames.
Like matter and antimatter.
They're going to fight. Well, this is an exciting show. We've done live shows before at the Albuquerque and Shriekfest. We've never done one at a comedy club. So.
No, this is the first one. It's great.
And we're right on.
Yeah.
Listen to those 10,000 people clap. It's amazing. The tickets cost $100 each. So you guys listening at home, you fucking missed out, man. You guys are stupid.
You missed out on giving us $100.
So let's get into some shout-outs first.
Sure. Well, we got to do the Comedy Attic first.
We shout out to the Comedy Attic. Come on, Jared and Dana. Yeah. And they have a little baby, Max, so he stays here all the time.
He's adorable.
That kid is either going to grow up and be like the most amazing comedian ever, or he's going to be like, I hate comedy, it sucks, it's stupid, I'm going to become a physicist. You know what I mean? He's just going to hate comics or become like
the most... physicist. His father would be so disappointed.
Yeah. How dare you not work in a bar?
What did I do wrong?
Where did my mom and I fail you?
You watch too many drunk comedians.
This is a great street, too. I noticed, like, when we went to the Mexican restaurant, we had to go downstairs. And nothing's on street level here.
Yeah, it's all crazy.
You definitely have to go up or downstairs to get where you want to go.
Is it all old bomb shelters? Like, what is the story here? Also, shout out to the good folks at Rising Star Gymnastics. Come on now.
Yes.
Clap it up, Aaron. Chris and I went there. I got on the pommel horse.
And pulled a Gymkata.
I pulled a Gymkata, which is the worst martial arts movie ever made. In the Gymkata, for those of you who don't know, it's with Kirk Thomas, I believe, 80s gymnast star. He's in a mental institution, undercover, fighting. And
martial arts mental patients.
Yeah. He's got to go undercover for some black ops in a mental institution. I think it's either Russia, because it's the 80s, it had to have been Russia, or some fakey countryistan or something like that. It's been a while since I've seen the movie. And then there's a fight scene, I shit you not, in the middle of this mental institution. Oh, there just happens to be a pommel horse for Kirk to fuck people up in. So it's amazing. And I forget.
And then do rings drop down?
Yeah, exactly. He just gets some chalk and then boom, goes into it.
Brings the thunder.
And I believe... you know what? I'm gonna open up exactly what was the line for the poster. I want to read it exactly what it was for Gymkata in honor of Aaron and her husband Mike and the good people of Rising Star Gymnastics. I really want to read this to you because it is all right. Here we go. Where is it? Come on! This is not slowing the show down at all. Okay. Where is it? Okay. This was on the poster. The skill of gymnastics, the kill of karate. Gymkata. My top 10 worst martial arts movie ever.
Of all time.
We're working on...
don't give it away.
I won't give it away.
Secret project.
We're working on a swingers club. Where you guys... know. Now, there's also another one. There's a Irish martial arts movie I found called Fatal Deviation. Yeah, martial arts movie in Ireland. You fucking heard me. Exactly. That's got
they fight snakes.
Yeah, they fight. Well, no, there's hobo monks and a secret kung fu tournament in Ireland.
And Guinness.
And Guinness, yeah. They're all just drunk. Make a pipe bomb, laddie. You win. All right. So that's our first shout-out, our first couple of shout-outs. And everyone that's come to the shows this whole weekend.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks, guys.
It's been awesome. Appreciate many of you here have come, yes. Obviously. My man with a Palm Strike shirt.
Yeah, it's one thing to come to a comedy club once. You guys are coming twice.
Yeah, you guys.
And some even more. We appreciate that.
And thank you for not having lives.
Yes.
And now we're going to do something.
We appreciate you guys coming out so much. We're going to do some giveaways. You guys are going to get some
contest
free shit.
Giveaways. Ding dong. I wish we had a theme song for that.
This is with the help of Neil Weekly, one of our writers.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a Neil fan in the
house.
He's
got fans. He's fans all over Twitter. He's actually turning kitten hands into a trending topic on Twitter. So what Neil has done has taken a famous movie quote and replaced a key word with the words kitten hands. And you have to guess what that movie is.
All right, our first prize is a Bob and Tom compilation. We were on Bob and Tom the other day. Compilation of all their like bits and comics on here and stuff like that. So you're
Big as a hat.
Big as a hat? Bob and Tom.
Now, should we just... See, there's a lot of people here. Should we bring a couple up to play, or should we just do it free-for-all?
We just got handed a Comedy Attic prize. Too. Everyone will win something, folks. Yeah. I think that just confirmed it.
Put it in the prize pile.
All right, let's... Yeah, we'll bring someone up, all right? Aaron, you're the first guest. Come on up here.
Bring up maybe three?
Yeah, give away all this prize. Okay. Come on up. Oh, you mean like they're going to compete who gets it first?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Let's do that. Come, Aaron. Come on up. You're
and
one of
bring
the...
two people that look dumber than you.
Josh, you MC'd. Are you MCing tonight?
No, you.
Oh, good.
Right.
No, I'm just fucking. I'm just busting your balls. That was really mean. Come on, guy in the beard. You're up here. Let's go. Beard it up. All right. Don't look at my computer, you cheaters. Stand over there. Take your clothes off. No, that was strip poker. Haha. So here's what Neil has done. He has taken famous lines from movies and he has replaced a word with kitten hands. Like, I'll give you an example. So what you're gonna have to do is name the word that he replaced and the movie that it's from. So like, I'll give you a really easy example. Like, these aren't the kitten hands you're looking for. You would obviously say droids and the movie would be Star Wars. If you don't know that, you're fucked.
If you don't know that, you wouldn't be here.
Yes, come on. All right, so let's go. I think Aaron's going to try to cheat. I'm going to tilt this.
I wrote them down here, too.
You wrote them down?
Some of them, not all of them. We might need all of Neil's. He gave us a bunch.
He gave us a bunch.
Like, oh, we're never going to need all these. All right. Wait, yeah, we will.
First person to get this right gets this Bob and Tom. All right, here it is. Pay no attention to that man behind the kitten hands. Guess what, winner? Congratulations!
Yay! Hey, I have an idea. Then a winner steps down, and then we replace it with another.
Yes, I know. Yes. Look at that.
All right.
Josh Murphy. She really likes people with the name of Josh. Yes. Okay. If you guys don't have a Josh name, you're screwed.
All right.
Do we raise our hand?
This is confusing. I feel robbed.
I think there's only three of you, so you can yell it out.
Just raise your
raise your voice.
How about this? I'll just raise your hand. First person to raise your hand will pick you. Because if everyone's yelling out, that's stupid. Trust me, I've done a lot of game shows.
Yeah.
all right. This one's too easy. All right, let's...
How about let's do a hard one. I've got...
This episode's going to come out the week of Halloween, so we're going to do some Halloween ones. Okay. All right. You want to do that one?
Yeah, that one's a hard
one. Okay, you do that one.
Stay on the road... Keep clear of the kitten hands.
No yelling out from the audience.
It's a horror movie. I
guess. That's scary.
Yes.
All right, suckers. Does anyone in the audience know it? Nobody knows this.
Wow.
10,000 people, nobody knows this. Jared, the owner.
I didn't hear the
question. Okay, here, say it again. I bet you Jared knows right. this.
Stay on the road, keep clear of the kitten hands.
Is replacing the word.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that wasn't in the original.
Were you drinking with your son in the back and you didn't pay attention to the rules?
I'm gonna go with Children of the Corn.
No, sir.
Close, but no.
All right, I will tell you this. It is stay on the road, keep clear of the moors.
All right, hint, anything? It has the word American in it.
And werewolf and London. Those words are in it. Does that make ring a bell for anybody? Do we give these guys consolation prizes and tell them to fucking beat it? Or what do we do here?
We have enough.
All right, we'll give another question. All right.
All right, we'll stay with Har. Do that one's a much easier one.
We had so much success with
this. Oh, this one right here. Okay, okay. All right, this isn't, again, Halloween themed, another horror movie. I have such kitten hands to show you.
Can I phone a friend?
Wow. Audience is turning on each other.
I think someone in the audience can. Somebody in the audience raise your hand. This is a pretty easy one. There you go.
Things to show you from Hellraiser.
Yes.
Give her a prize. She gets something.
Have another Bob.
She gets another Bob and Tom CD. There you go.
It's a.
You guys are a poor example.
Three CD set. You guys might be up here for the whole show.
Jesus. If you guys don't get this next one, we're sending you all down and we're bringing up three more. That sounded really harsh. Yeah. And you're not getting dessert either.
Yeah. They actually were like sad, like, oh. Yeah.
I'm the mean game show host that chastises you for not knowing the answers. Do your research, you sons of bitches.
This is tic-tac-toe, for God's sake.
You're never going to get to the bonus round with this kind of bullshit. All right. Oh, okay. This one?
Yes.
All right.
A boy's best friend is his kitten hands.
So do you guys watch movies, or do you know what the podcast is about? Like when you hear these terms, are you like confused?
Okay, let's go to the audience again. Over here, Har.
Boom, yes. Winner. Give him a prize. How about?
Not big, is he? Normal size, okay. Attic?
Yes.
Yes. Comedy Addict t-shirt.
All right. Congratulations. What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, big winner. Three guys on stage, nothing.
Okay. Well, yeah, the three guys on stage is really working out.
Yeah, why don't you guys just sit down?
Yeah.
Give these guys a round of applause
for their movie ignorance.
For not knowing. We'll just raise your hand since there's
good.
A little less than 10,000 of you here.
There are now. All the winners went home. Now there's 9,900.
I got my free shit. I'm gone, bitch. All right. Okay, I'll do this one. I'll do this one. All right. Now, all right, we got to make sure I can see you, your hands. We accept kitten hands. We accept kitten hands. One of us. One of us.
Close enough.
It's her. The movie was correct. Was Freak. So we'll give you that. Yeah. If you don't get the movie right, then you're fucking stupid. But yeah, we'll give him. How about? Oh, you know, how about from one of our past episodes and now a bit from my act, a hat from somebody who lives in Peoria, Illinois, sent us the Fantasyland Gentleman's Club hat. So congratulations, my friend.
Clearly, you like hats.
Clearly, he's a hat man, so he's a big supporter of skanky strip clubs.
Yeah, that one is a little less revolutionary than the one you're wearing, but you can still enjoy it.
I don't want to alienate the strippers. Let's not alienate our stripper nerds. Our female dancer nerds. Look at me. Oh. You already want some shit. You'll fucking settle down there, greedy. Oh, you mean I'm looking at you for being a stripper? I'm not judging your profession, ma'am. I'm just, however you need to earn money. Give all the winners. You guys are all winners tonight. Come on.
Everyone here is a winner unless you didn't win something.
Unless you didn't, then you're a loser.
Let's get into it, buddy.
Where are we at?
Hereafter. We're in theaters.
Flip the page. All right. Hereafter in theaters. I saw this the other day at a wonderful movie theater off the 37 Highway in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana.
Was it crowded?
Not really.
No.
I was excited to see this because, you know, as we talked about, I love Clint Eastwood. Like you said, he's like an American Kurosawa. I love Matt Damon. The trailer looks very interesting and they didn't. I thought they didn't tell you too much in the trailer. I don't want to, like, give away too much. I don't want to, like, spoiler alert this movie, because I think it's worth seeing. It's just...
But you can just talk about the differences between the trailer and what the actual movie
is. The trailer, to me, was going to be mostly focused on Matt Damon. Now, obviously...
You mean because he's in every scene of the trailer?
Yes, and he's a huge movie star.
Yeah.
But, like...
Why would you think that?
That's weird. I don't know. I was coked up. So, I'm, like, doing a little blow, go to the movies. Boom. Put my kitten hands in a tub of popcorn, have a grand old time. So, you know, I knew that there, obviously, there was the two storylines that they show you in the trailer of the little boy and the woman, and they obviously both have some kind of tragedy. That's what the trailer shows you. And they, it's very interesting how they, it's you know, Clint Eastwood, his movies, his pacing is usually pretty... It's slower or more methodical or whatever, which I'm fine with, provided it's leading somewhere. Just, I thought it was going to be more about, I mean, the trailer sets up, okay, Matt Damon, he used to be this famous psychic, and now he doesn't want to do it. I don't, you know, you see in the trailer, his brother, Jay Moore, who plays his brother well, is like, oh, come on, man, you got to do this. And it's a curse. It's not a good thing. And then like they go into that a little bit and they show what the life, like, if you actually had that ability, how it could potentially be troublesome and how it's hard to, you know, he can't shake people's hands because he immediately, like, zones in, fucking warps, sees their horror, and, I'm out of here, or whatever. So,
what if they have kitten hands?
Then he's got, well, then they're safe. Then he's just going to go, meow, meow. And they're going to make delightful kitten hand love. But... So they get in there, and it's interesting, but then they branch off, and they spend a lot of time on the little kid's storyline and a lot of time on the French woman's storyline. And at first I was like, okay, great. And now we're all going to, you know, they're all three going to, like, it's so obvious. He's going to meet them, or he's going to get back into business and blah, blah, blah. But they take forever. And that, it just, after a certain point, I was like, come on, man. Like, get to the shit that I know that this movie is about.
Get to the trailer.
You know what I mean? So I don't want to sit here and say it wasn't a bad movie. I mean, it's well made. There's all really solid actors
in it.
But
it wasn't as advertised.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't as advertised. And again, we
there's another movie like that we're going to talk about.
We bitch about a lot on the trailers on here. And I when I first saw that trailer, I was like, oh, great. It didn't give away too much. But it just didn't. But then the movie just didn't have that much more to it. You know what I mean? I mean, I think it's... I don't want to say don't see it, because it's...
Now, is it like a Crash where all these lives intersect via Matt Damon? Is it that kind of, like, segmented stories?
Well, as you're watching the movie, you're like, oh, it's obviously going in this direction. And then it just takes fucking forever to get to this obvious thing that you knew from the trailer. You watched the trailer, you went, oh, all three of these people's lives are going to intersect. And you're like, okay, let's get to it. Like... I mean, you know,
is there Matt, a Gran Torino in it?
Clint Eastwood sings the Gran Torino song. Talking to dead people in my Gran Torino. Can't remember the rest of the Gran Torino song. Otherwise, that would have been a hilarious riff. So that, I don't know. That's kind of my... I think you'll find parts of this movie interesting review. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say, oh, rush out and see it. It's amazing. And I don't want to say, don't see it. You know, maybe wait till it comes out on DVD. But I mean, there's interesting scenes, and, you know,
it's not a Matt Damon movie is what you're saying.
He's good at, like, playing this, you know, he's so low key and he doesn't want to be bothered, and he has this sort of ability that he's tormented by. Like, I don't know that there's been other parts where he's played this kind of a character, which is interesting to me. It's just, I think it was, honestly, I want to put the problem with is the script, I guess. Like, the script should have moved it more.
How about maybe the editing?
Yeah, maybe the editing. I mean, I know you and I were talking about that, you know, Clint Eastwood has so much power now that maybe this is an example where...
Or maybe the editor should have a little more power, cut 30 minutes out of it. Yeah.
Or just fucking... I want to see what happens after they all come together and how Matt Damon reconciles with this ability.
So what Graham is saying is go to the movie 2 hours late.
Yes, and then sit and watch a blank screen and fill in the blanks in your own mind what you think is going to happen. You'll have a great afternoon. So that's, you know, that's why it's Clint Eastwood and Matt Damon, so it's good. It's, I don't know, like, there's always, kind of like Invictus, that had good moments to it, but I don't know.
But with ghosts.
What the fuck are you talking about? Yes, it's Invictus with Ghosts, you guys. Go check this shit out. It's amazing. So that's what I'd say. I'd say a script that moved along a little more would... That's my... But otherwise, it's good. It's decent. Now, you saw Paranormal Activity 2.
Yes, I saw Paranormal Activity 2. Or I should say, I saw Paranormal Activity 1 again. This movie was...
By applause, how many people here saw the first Paranormal Activity?
Yeah.
Okay. I applause and you raise your hand. Awesome. That's so good for just a audio medium.
I have to say, you know, some people didn't like... I liked the first Paranormal Activity. I thought it was scary. It was kind of cool. And it was like a real cool low-budget kind of movie. This movie was... as like, okay, we're going to do the exact same movie, but add a baby and a dog. So it's like when they added Batmite to Batman. That's what it felt like. It was so unnecessary. So you're watching this movie and you're like, okay, well, that's ridiculous. That I have already seen. And this movie was kind of like New Coke. It was like, wasn't new. No one wanted it. And everyone kind of liked the old Coke anyway.
So how would you put it next to, because I didn't see the first
it's
one.
It's not, but here's the thing too, with this movie, the same cast is in the second movie. Because what they did is they did something, oh, this must look good on paper. They did a story that was concurrent to the original Paranormal Activity. So it's about
what?
The lead girl's sister's family and how it's all tied in. And you know what? Tied in pretty sloppily.
That's a fucked up family,
yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It was really ridiculous. Like, okay, well, that's the exact same scene, the exact same shot we saw in the first movie. And then, oh my God, there's a couple parts where you're just going to laugh out loud. Like, the entity in the house, apparently what it likes to do to scare people is take the pool filter robot out of the pool at night.
That's insane! What a demon! Oh, my God!
It was so scary.
He's like, making his own popcorn.
Yeah, yeah. You walk at night, I'm like, well, how did this get out of the pool? This is crazy.
Oh, no human could do
yes.
that.
And no. then... Yeah.
Jesus.
The most unbelievable parts of the movie weren't even like the ghost demon stuff. It was more like the reactions of the characters. Like the guy, you know, the dad always, I don't believe in ghosts and stuff. Really, this day and age with 1,000 ghost shows, if shit's happened in your house, you kind of would believe it a little quicker, I think. But I love
that's
it where,
a liberal media.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, go watch Fox News and don't believe in ghosts. Yeah.
That's what they want you to think.
Yeah. So, so you've got this unbelieving dad, and then things are going crazy. There's stuff going on in the house. The mother now can't get out of bed. There's something wrong with her. Like, the baby's crying all the time. The older sister's going...
I'm trapped by the pool filter.
Yeah.
Help me.
The sister's going crazy. She's like, don't go, Dad. And the dad is like, well, I have a meeting. Yeah, I have a meeting. What can I do? You know, I'll be back later. It's very important.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone's got to pay for this haunted house.
Yeah. You know, you can deal with all this ghost stuff when I get back.
Jesus. What did he say to his pals at work? Ah, the old lady's bitching about ghosts again.
Yeah, yeah, so I should probably get back there, but no hurry.
Some demon's fucking terrorizing my child.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And who's going to pay for the bills?
Yeah. And, of course, who knows right away that it's a bad spirit? The Hispanic nanny that they fire. Like, really? It's been a...
Oh, my Dios.
Yeah.
Oh.
You listen. I am listening. There's no ghost. Stop lighting candles. You're fired.
You're fired.
If she's a good nanny and she was lighting candles, you still wouldn't fire her. Good nannies are hard to find.
Yes, they are, especially ones that can see ghosts.
Spirits.
Specters.
Yeah. Seriously.
I'm your Dios fantasma.
So you just laugh at this. That's exactly what she said. Yeah. So you're just laughing at this entire movie. Like, come on, really, really? All in all, you can skip this movie. It's like we always say, support indie film. This movie, the sequel, cost $3 million to make.
The first one cost $1,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, $5,000. And it's the pretty much the exact same movie. So where did that movie go? Special effects? Locations? No. Bloated salaries of producers and studios. And I'm looking at this... It's like that, but like the studio tried to make like their version of a hip indie horror film. Mm-hmm. And you're watching this movie and, ooh, yeah, you're trying too hard, rich kid.
Yeah. Oh, my Dios.
Yeah, it's not really working. So support indie film. You don't have to support studio copies of indie film.
Go see Hereafter for some real fucking ghosts, bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's... it was pretty ridiculous. So I put a full review with even a few more diatribes on the site.
Oh, goodness. That was it was kind of a slow weekend. Like, we're kind of in this middle zone between the summer movies and, like, Oscar movies. I'm sure Hereafter is going to try to make an Oscar push.
Well, I was really looking forward to it, too, because I liked the first one. Right. Like, okay, what's up the stakes? Ooh, no, but let's make the same movie again.
But wasn't it like Blair Witch, the Blair Witch sequel? Like, I mean, in that...
Well, in fairness, it was better than that.
Okay. Because, I guess I shouldn't say... I mean, I know Blair Witch was a phenomenon for what it was, but I don't think it was as... I mean, I didn't see the first Paranormal. You saw Blair Witch in the first Paranormal. Uh-huh. Which one's better?
You know what? They're both good. I liked Blair Witch. A lot of people didn't because it's like, oh, you don't get to see anything. Like, that's kind of the point. In Paranormal Activity, they kind of took that and took it to the next step where you don't see stuff for a while, but then you do see stuff at the end. So I would say Paranormal Activity is a better movie, but okay. I liked both.
That was my problem with Blair Witch. I was one of those people who was like, I need to see, like, it started out all scary, and then it's like... Like I said, I might have even said on the show in a prior episode, like it's that thing where, like, it was like if you went to Jaws and it was just dun 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 dun, never saw the fucking shark, just dun 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 dun, boom.
Then the screen goes black.
Credits, you know. Then it would be catfish.
Still a fish.
Still a fish. All right, so let's do our now. We're gonna go to an interview that we recorded with one of our filmmakers that we sell his stuff on the site, Christopher Alan Broadstone.
Yes, this will be, in case you don't hear any laughter during this segment, this is actually a pre-recorded segment.
No, it's recorded in a secure location.
Yes.
In a bunker.
Yeah. In Christopher Broadstone's house.
All right, so here's this interview.
Thank you, audience in Bloomington. We are now here with our guest. Chris, why don't you introduce our guest?
Our guest is none other than Christopher Alan Broadstone, a horror film writer / director, and he's actually been called the next Clive Barker, and he has a DVD out now called Three Dead Girls with three very disturbing short films on it. We actually showed one of them at one of our Comedy Film Nerds events last year, and it was a Halloween show.
It was a Halloween show.
You would think a horror movie and would be okay, and it almost walked the room.
Yeah, some people just freaked out. They were like, what the fuck?
Even Neil went, that was kind of disturbing.
Well, what you were going to play... Which one? I forgot. You were going to start out playing.
We were going to do Human No More.
Human No More, okay, which is the most mild, I think, of all of them.
Right. And then what happened, there was something wrong with the DVD player, so we had to play the first one, which was a little more disturbing and graphic.
By 10.
Yeah. And then I remember Chris going to me before I showed it. He goes, well, yeah, that's the funniest one. Play that one.
Yeah. I laugh every time. I really do. You know, I mean, you have to laugh. I mean, if you see it, the first time viewers... always have their mouth hanging down or they're walking out or something. But after you see it three times, I'll say, you start to laugh at it and you start to see the humor in Mad Men's dialogue and how he's just so over the top nutcase.
Yeah, that's what that's what I loved about it. I was like, this guy is hilarious, but it is.
For those of you that don't know, Scream for Me is about one killer becomes the victim of another more brutal and insane even than himself.
Yes.
Right. And what I love, too, is that his dialogue, although I feel it does change, it's really mostly him just trying to convince this guy that, you know, or just say to him, you're gay, you're a faggot, you know. You know, 50 different ways to call you gay, you know, is what he's doing. And you kind of wonder, well, dude, maybe you're the one that's got the issues. And then, like most then those, we get further in the movie, and I think there becomes some... realization of that in people's minds, and that's when people really go, I think the door's sounding pretty good right now, so I might go get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Well, that's glad. I really feel like because this is our Halloween episode and we've got an amazing horror director, I wish we had more like,
little sound effects to drop a few in.
So we should try to get that, which...
But now, the thing I love about your movies, we actually met Chris through Shriekfest.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Chris isn't a typical horror director, especially for indie. His stuff is very disturbing. But also, Chris, I think your stuff has a real polish and style to it that's missing in a lot of independent film. But tell us how these three movies, Scream for Me, My Skin, and Human No More, kind of came about. It's almost like a trilogy in a way.
It is. I didn't realize at first that it would turn into that. I really made Scream for Me, which was my first short, simply for two reasons. One, to prove to the world I could do it. And two, to prove to me I could do it. And
was this the first thing you had ever directed, basically? Or?
It is, yeah. Uh-huh. And I edited it and all that good stuff, too. And I was simply determined to find out if it was possible for me to even make a movie.
Right.
So I just dove in to prove to the world and to me that I could do it. Got out the credit cards. talked to the
few, in the true indie film
yes,
style.
talked to the few people I knew that were fresh out of school, film school, or simply calling on my sister, or my girlfriend, or whoever would be willing to do anything. And I chose Scream for Me because it was a movie that I could do in one room,
right?
Which meant I could save a lot of time
and money.
I mean, in money. Well, it didn't turn out to save much money, but that's a problem when you're trying to be professional. It always ends up costing money.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I wasn't a film student, so I couldn't get any breaks, no discounts,
right,
no
right.
free stuff from right. the school. I had to pay for the insurance. I had to pay for full for everything. So that turned into something. And then there were all the lab costs, which...
You shot this on film.
This one was shot on 16mm, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was quite an experience. Which is another reason I really wanted to get into making that one, was because I knew that was right when the transition into video editing was really starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
People were getting camcorders like crazy, but it wasn't fully happening yet. And I knew that this would probably be my last chance to really cut on film, because I knew that I'd end up having to go that route too.
Did you have a negative cutter? You actually made a film print?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, I cut it myself in my room took me 5 months.
Wow.
And I had a guy named Enzo Treppa, who was a professional sound engineer, who, sound cutter, actually. And he did the production sound as well as the post-production audio. And he did super with all of that. It was crazy. I'm kind of backtracking and rambling here. But, when you're cutting on film, you don't have the audio sunk up to it.
Right.
You have to do something called mag film. And you have to have that made. You have to have it numbered to match every frame of the film.
For those of you that are in film school now, none of this will apply to
you. Yeah, right. So,
yeah, exactly. And
this is how film was made 100 years ago.
Yeah. And it was crazy now when I think back on it, because all I was doing was, taking film, cutting it with a guillotine splicer, mm-hmm. and sticking it together again somewhere. Now, with Final Cut Pro Avid and all this stuff, it's crazy amount of things you can do and different styles of cutting.
Oh, yeah. And all the effects you can put in there and everything.
Right,
like that.
Right. This was nothing like that.
Yeah.
But it was a very interesting experience. And, when you got down to finally cutting the audio in, because although we had it on mag film, we also had it on I don't know what kind of tape, a D88, or I don't know what it was. Not an audio guy. But when it finally was, the electronic sound was brought in and put to the film, mm-hmm. and all the sound effects started coming in and everything was finessed, it was really an amazing experience. It's not like it is now where you can do all of that.
An amazing experience that you never want to do again.
Exactly. Yeah, because, nowadays, if it's on video, you just pop one off onto a tape or,
right.
Your own DVD, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to do. And you can watch it.
Yeah.
With this, you had to go to the lab, get them to develop a negative, make you a work print, go round and around,
color correct it,
which was something else, and then...
I remember when I was in film school, the lab ruined one of my movies. They developed it wrong, and it was all gone.
Yeah, oh, it's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
There's no backup drive
No, it's you're done.
Yes, indeed. What an experience I don't want to have again.
Yeah.
But, those lab fees, man, they just rack up.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. I felt like I was going to medical school or something when I was in film school with all mm-hmm. the additional lab fees. Back then
it was crazy, and now they're all gone.
Well, let me ask you this: so, when you first you've only directed horror, correct?
Well, if you want to call my stuff horror, then yes.
I think everyone in this room would agree.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that if we bring that subject up, it's always been kind of a weird one with me, because when I made my first two films, Scream for Me and My Skin, it was at a time when all the big horror, I mean, there were so many, I mean, what am I saying? There are so many horror websites now, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Then there was hardly any. And there was hardly any horror festivals, and so
Shriek Festival was one of the first ones.
Yeah, right.
And just so the audience knows, My Skin is about death flies in to collect the soul of a murdered young woman, but first takes revenge on her killer.
Thank God!
Wow, neat. Another one room. Actually, almost all three films were shot in one room. Getting off on a tangent here, and I was almost going to call it the one room trilogy, and I said that's just way boring. So I was standing in my kitchen one night and thinking, huh, about 4 o'clock rolled around, I think, in the morning, and I go, wait a minute, these are all really about dead girls.
Right.
And each one has the dead girl in it, and everything really revolves around the dead girl. It should be called Three Dead Girls. So that was it. That was a revelation of that, anyway, for what it's worth. I don't know how interesting that is, but...
Well, I want to get into what prompted you into wanting to make, get into this genre and make films like this.
Okay, that kind of brings me back to a point I was trying to make, was, back then when I had my first two... The only websites I really saw looked, they exploit the gore so much that you think, and I said, well, mine don't have that.
Right.
They're more psychological. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't fit in with that crowd. I didn't know where I fit in. I was naive about everything. Fortunately, there was a website in England that discovered me, and they reviewed, and so I said, okay, I'll send...
It was called The Guardian.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Actually, it was the Rumor Machine, but it's gone now, unfortunately. And Lee Bells, who ran it, he's a good friend now, actually got me to send a copy of the movies over. Mm-hmm. He loved them. He sent them to his friend who ran an even bloodier website, extreme exploitation, crazy European, cows being real cows being slaughtered over people,
God, they're weird with the animals. I know. Yeah, sex in Europe.
And the Europe.
Mm-hmm. And the Europe.
And the Europe. And he actually, who I thought would really hate him, really liked him. And the one I thought that he should like, which is Scream for Me, he didn't like it so much. He liked My Skin, which is far milder and more commercial. And completely, again, unlike cows being slaughtered over people. So,
that's the tagline.
Pig heads coming off.
Not like cows being slaughtered over people.
Better than that.
Yeah. So it was crazy. And so, now getting to your point about, why did I choose this? I didn't really choose it. It chose me. And I've always said that I started out writing my own fiction, much earlier than I did making the movies. And I was always trying to write science fiction because that's what I thought I liked. Mm-hmm. And I really wasn't that into horror. Excuse me. But I realized one day that everything I wrote was dark and macabre and horror in my mind. It just wasn't a sort of a bloody kind of thing. Although right. Puzzle Man, my book, which we'll bring up later, has a lot of freaking blood in it. So, but yeah, it just found me, and I just said, I embrace you, I love you, and my life felt better, and I felt better, and
the blood started flowing.
And I just felt great. Twisted demons
yeah, that are bouncing around in my brain.
Because I back then too, I always had a great interest in religion, but primarily the occult. So I was always reading books on Satanism and witchcraft and all this stuff, and not really thinking. Oh, this isn't science fiction, is it? especially when I had a actual devil worshiper come in one night where I was working and said, I want to talk to you. I see what you've been reading. I want you to meet me in the Sears bathroom or something. It's getting scary. And I was like, what?
And bring loose pants.
How could this go wrong? It was crazy. But then he it was weird because he had these numbers tattooed on his fingers. And he had his hand down. It was like 999, and I was thinking, oh, he must be really into the band 999, because that was back in the new wave punk days, and there was a band called 999. Well, he really likes
pentagrams. That's
neat. Turns out, his final words to me were, "We can get you anything." And he held his hand up, and suddenly it was, "Oh, that's 666." Oh. So all these books I've been reading about Satanism, I guess, haven't really sunk in very well. But now I get it. But no, I'm not going to meet you in the Sears bathroom at the mall. Sorry.
I always want to say,
what about JCPenney?
Maybe.
Would you go to a Macy's? Would you do a Macy's?
I like to go higher end.
Bloomingdale's?
Like a Neiman Marcus?
Neiman Marcus would be good. I think so.
A high-end creep bathroom would be great. You know,
is Neiman Marcus the one that puts out the catalog every year with the super expensive? You see, they could put me in there. Meet him in the bathroom at Neiman Marcus for $5,000. You know, it'd be great.
I'm always puzzled by the devil worshippers, because that's obviously, basically, that's a Christian story.
Right.
And I always go, well, you know, if that's what you're paying attention to is the Bible and Christianity, well, you know, the devil doesn't do well in that. Like, you don't win. Like, you're picking the losing team. If you're going to subscribe to that, I'm always puzzled. I always want to go, if I don't get it. If you're going to a religion, if you believe in heaven and hell.
Well, number two, try harder.
Try.
Exactly.
The devil. Come on, someday.
Right.
But I shouldn't say that. I mean, I'm a Cub fan, so I know what true horror and pain and eternal damnation is all about.
Now, your third movie, this is actually my favorite, Human No More, about a private detective consumed by a reconcilable murder case, descends into his caustic underworld one last time. It doesn't sound at all like I was reading that off the bat.
That was on Disney Family.
Yeah.
you know, that one, when I made that one, I was going through a really dark time in my life.
Unlike the other two.
And that, this differs from...
Well, there's one thing
to be... I wrote the other two at Disneyland.
Yeah, the other two.
There's one thing to be dark and happy, but dark and depressed. That's a combination that's deadly for sure. And that's really where that one came from. And I don't know. I wanted to make something slow down. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here
anymore. What does dark and happy look like? I want to know what dark and happy looks like.
The way not me now.
Okay.
But the way I used to be before you knew me, actually. So I don't know if you guys had something to do with it, but I won't go further with that.
All right.
What do you think got dark and happy? We have to figure that out.
What is dark?
Happy. Happy tree friends.
Tree friends.
There we go. Okay. Happy tree friends.
Happy tree friends. All right. That makes sense.
Happy freak friends is what you're going to say.
Happy freak friends.
So now you're working on some other stuff, though, right?
I am, in a couple features. I was working on another short, but I could never find a location that I could make things happen.
We have a garage. Yes. Here that's available.
Well, I appreciate that. The problem was I had to do an effect that I really wanted to be a physical effect, which would require a person to be under the floor, because I sort of needed a head to come out and be as if it was sitting on the floor. And I didn't want to
Neil, one of our writers who's been on the show, is in the garage. Neil, would you be willing to be buried for a while?
Again? Yeah. I'll take nothing less than scale.
Yeah.
There's a buried rider in the contract.
Right. I didn't realize. Neil's open anything for the right contract.
Oh, well, let me read the script, Neil just said.
We can probably just cut your head off and sew it back on.
Yes, exactly.
It worked in Frankenstein, every Frankenstein.
I'll have a great story to tell.
Exactly. So anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about your next project. And we're talking about how you worked with people that worked with Clive Barker as well.
That's right. I'm actually good friends with the executive producer of Hellraiser 1 and 2, who knows Clive. And he loves my stuff and is probably one of my biggest fans. And he's been out there, you know, pitching me, but nothing's happened yet.
That's weird in Hollywood.
It just happens automatically.
Yeah.
That's my problem, I guess, is that when people read my stuff, they're not getting Paranormal 2 or Saw 5 or, you know, whatever. Believe it or not, the Saw people, before the first Saw was coming out, actually contacted me because they had seen Scream for me on a, I think they downloaded it off a website or something. I don't know where they saw it, but they called me. We were all excited. They were looking for a director, possibly writer, for the future sequels. Because the film had done well at Sundance, but hadn't been released yet. And then, of course, it became the giant hit. But apparently, when they saw my other films and then my scripts that I had written, which I'm still pushing, they realized, oh, I guess he's not Saul material or something.
Oh.
So it's kind of that's also the thing in Hollywood with producers, is if they don't see right away that you fit the bill, they have no interest in thinking that
you could do something else.
Yeah, of course. Exactly.
Everything isn't torture porn, so clearly he can't do anything else.
Yeah, yeah, it's like literally like that episode of the Brady Bunch. Like, he didn't fit the suit, just dump him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's all he can do is that. And that's a
one hit wonder. So that was my big excitement, getting to talk to producers at Twisted Pictures. You bastards.
Do you now, so have you done features, or you're trying to get?
I've been trying to. I've written two features, one of which won Best of Screenplay Award at Shriekfest, and I don't want to say the year. It's been a little while now, but
1953.
It was a talkie.
It was 54, actually.
Car 54, Where Are You would just come out. It was a really exciting time.
Now, what? Just give us a, if you, unless you don't want to, the synopsis of the.
I will not go with you to the bathroom. anywhere. Sorry.
That's but
it's
the
a,
title.
It's a Kohl's.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us what the, or is that is the secret? You don't want to let it out, the what the script is about?
I'm always poor at pitching, but which one? The one that won?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, for one thing, it's called Retard.
Oh, I can't see why. People
which some people have had an aversion to that title, thinking it would offend a certain... subculture. We'll call the short bus people.
Over in Haight-Ashbury.
Yeah.
Yes. Might piss them off.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's when a lot of people hear retard and they think, oh, it's horror. It must be there's this crazy, rabid, frothing at the mouth retard running around stabbing people. You know, I'm sorry, handicapped, mentally handicapped person. I didn't mean retard ever. But I have to say also that John Franklin, who was Isaac in Children of the Corn, that's his fame, is the one that came up with that title. So I can't be blamed for it. And actually, it was his idea for us to get together and write, and he is the co-author of that script. So even in spite of that, and any other pool, and the winning awards, we still couldn't get the movie made. But that doesn't tell you what the film is about. It's really about, actually, the mentally handicapped person.
Well, you are bad at pitching.
I am bad at pitching. I'm telling you, I suck. I also suck at networking. Have you guys seen me out anywhere in about 2 years? No.
Only in that Sears bathroom. That's the only place I saw him.
That's it, you know. I mean,
that was a mixer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you don't just come over to my front door and drag me out of the house, you'll never see me. But really, the handicapped person in that is the genius. He's been reincarnated, and he knows all these things about how the universe really works, but doesn't really understand them yet either. And there turns out to be these killings that are representative of kind of what he knows about the other side. And I guess a detective mystery ensues that's really quite macabre, and again, you know, on the horror bent, that just leads you down a road of trying to find who is the real killer. And of course, the handicapped person is a big suspect in it, and that's kind of the basis of it right there. But it's a complicated script. Everything I do is overly complicated, but
that's actually part of its charm. Yeah. It really is. It's like your stuff, the writing is very dense.
That's what I like about it as well, is it's really like there's a lot of like
a lot going on and levels to it.
Yeah, a lot of complex levels to it, which I like.
Oh, thank you very much.
So now you have a book, Puzzle Man. Yep. Tell us a little bit about that, because it's actually it's not like a pamphlet. It's a decent size book.
Now wait a minute, you can't say that, because it is a decent sized book, but it's not the Bible, all right? And it's not a Stephen King novel or an Anne Rice novel that's 500,000 pages long.
That is true. Right.
Okay, and everybody says, oh, it's 400 pages, and I'm like, well, just put down the 1,000 page the stand you just got?
Yeah,
I mean, what, give me a break here, you know. So anyway, nobody wants to read, obviously, anymore. But getting back to, believe me, we know. But yeah, you know, but that book too. That's something I worked on forever and ever. Mm. You know,
I think they made it as a compliment where you actually sat down and wrote a full length novel.
Well, maybe so. I mean, a lot of the underground stuff I see is more of a novella.
Right, you know, right.
It's like
that's
100 pages
exactly,
maybe 150, 200 mm-hmm. max. Which I had hoped this one would be in the beginning, but it just grew and grew and grew. And the original manuscript was actually, you know, 1,000 pages.
Oh, wow.
You know, I cut a lot out, mm-hmm. you know, over the years. But also that was part of me learning how to write. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is the book, because I just kept rewriting it and rewriting it. That's how I taught myself to write. So I don't know anyone cares about that, because the look on your face says, what the hell? Why did we even ask this guy to come
on
here?
Chris and I have been up for like 27 hours or something like that. Like, we did 2-3 shows last night, and then...
Drove
4 hours and got there at 5 a.m. And then American Airlines charged me $35 for a carry-on bag. That's why I fly on a United. You American Airlines suck asses.
oh, yeah. You created a whole Twitter trending topic last night.
I picked up like 200 Twitter followers when I started bad-mouthing American Airlines. Yeah. And then a United flight attendant that came to one of my shows was like, yeah, go for it. Because I was like, I fly United. It's great. Oh, anyway. But that's why that's why I'm looking at you that way, just because I'm tired and $35 more angry. It has nothing to do with the content of your book, sir.
Well, one of the things is, you know, Graham and I were talking about, especially what we want to do with Comedy Film Nerds, is discover the new film mm-hmm. talent. So we're actually offering all of Chris's stuff on our site. Mm-hmm. We have Human No More is actually available for download, but his DVDs are here signed, as well as his book and signed. Yeah. And we'll have a gift pack up soon with a little something something extra
little
from Chris.
Something extra.
Chris was also in a band.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Wow.
I was in
called Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, Nine Inch Nails. Not to be confused with the big time Nine Inch Nails.
Oh,
there's the big Nine Inch Nails, which would be the famous one.
This is the smaller.
This is the smaller Nine Inch
More
Nails.
More like an eight inch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, they're just skinnier.
They're just slender Nine Inch Nails.
Exactly. You know, they have no hips or breasts. It's just nothing going on there.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. Like, so if you're everyone who's listening, if you're
you get a DVD of his band, actually.
Yes,
that's the extra,
which has
that's what I figured that.
Yeah, which has one song that is in Scream for Me, so it's not entirely unrelated.
You know, and again, what I'm saying to the listeners is, if you guys, if you're those of listeners who are fans of the horror genre, and like psychological thrillers, as Broadstone was talking about, like, check out his stuff. As Chris said, that's one of the things we've always wanted to do with this site, is we do a lot of mainstream stuff, and that's fine, but we want to bring to you guys artists and comedians and filmmakers that you haven't heard of that we think are pretty sweet. So this is a great way to support independent artists, as we've talked about many times on the show.
Absolutely.
Cool. So how can people get a hold of you?
I'm not giving my phone number.
Sears bathroom? Where's the switch Sears bathroom?
Go to the Sears bathroom or Neiman Marcus. Look in the bright stall on the wall.
Fridays at 4.
You'll find me.
See a guy that's dark but happy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or dark and depressed, dark depending. And either or. Two sides of the same coin.
No, you have a website, Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of it.
Okay.
I got everything right now. The website is blackcabproductions.com, mm-hmm. and that's cab like a taxi, not cat like a lot of people want to say. Oh, Black Cat. No.
No.
Black Cab Productions.
It's a dark automobile.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you go there, you'll find everything you need to know. You'll find links to these guys. You'll find links to my Facebook, YouTube, mm-hmm. Twitter, IMDb,
outstanding.
LinkedIn. What else is there? I mean,
Friendster.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
whatever.
You know, people are act like, you know, I'm so hard to get a hold of. Just go Google my name.
When somebody said to me, hey man, I tried to get a hold of you for this job, I couldn't get a hold of you. What did you whisper my name into a sock?
Yeah.
Like, just type in Graham comedian, and
yeah,
I'm
right,
you're gonna find
right,
some
yeah.
stuff pretty easily.
Well, you must not have a computer.
Yeah,
you
or electricity.
Right.
Or the ability to discern.
Right.
Right, exactly. So, you know,
American Airlines sons of bitches, I'm going to punch you in the throat. I'm sorry. But that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's the easiest way instead of, you know, to find out all the latest news and all that good stuff if I update my website regularly, which is proven difficult at times. But I'm going to be updating it with new information soon, hopefully this week. So even though that what you see on there right now is a little bit outdated, all the links should still work, and you should still find me without any trouble.
Well, you guys, I mean, this is definitely someone you want to follow because, you know, Chris Mancini and I are confident you're going to be seeing...
yeah, like I said, we call it the next Clive Barker.
Jesus.
The next Cab Barker.
Yeah. Next Cab, cool. The next Cab Calloway.
Next Bob Barker.
The next Bob Barker. No, have your horror film spayed or neutered.
Yeah.
So, no, this is definitely, Christopher Alan Broadstone is definitely somebody to watch. So thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to the Nerd World headquarters. And now we're going to send it back to ourselves.
All the way in Bloomington, Indiana.
Back to Bloomington, Indiana.
Via time travel.
Boom.
Oh, and we're back. Wasn't that an amazing interview, you guys? Holy shit. Did that blow your minds?
That was seamless.
That was unbelievable. So glad you guys got to hear that. Do you like when he said that one thing about that thing? Isn't that great? All right, let's go into DVD releases.
Yes. Well, it's okay. I mean, the worst probably is Sex and the City 2 is coming out. Yeah, nobody liked this movie. From critics to people watching it to fans of the show, everyone pretty much hated this movie.
Well, yeah, the thing was, like, I remember when we had Paul Goebel on the show, and he's the king of TV. He's a big TV guy, and he loved the series. And he said the thing that kind of resonated with me was that they, you know, these characters, you know, the series started out, all these girls having fun in Manhattan, but then as the show progressed, they went into more depth with the characters. Like, one woman got cancer and you know, started to analyze. And then they just ditched it to the movies, and it was just like, woo, apple teenies. And
the Mideast.
And the Middle East. Yeah. Yeah,
on camels.
Wow, so, Ishtar, fucking right on.
There are two great reviews on the site, one by Laura House and one by Jackie Cation, and they both tore the movie apart, but in completely different and creative ways. So they're great. Both articles are fantastic.
Telling the truth is telling the truth is, damn it, telling the truth. That's the song from Ishtar, fucking wake up, bitches. God, that, take out the desert scene in Ishtar, that's a funny movie. I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? It has nothing to do with, that has a little bit to do with Sex and City 2, but go watch, get the DVD for Ishtar, and just fast, the desert scenes are, well, watch them in terms of like, oh, this is how you ruin a movie and bankrupt a studio, but the shit where they're like doing, they're trying to make it in Hollywood is hilarious.
The opening is pretty funny.
The whole opening's hilarious, and Charles Grodin, the CIA guy, He's amazing. He's amazing in it. So go rent that instead of Sex and the City 2.
Well, go rent half of it.
Yes, go rent half of it.
Next movie is an indie movie we actually didn't see, but it's coming out, Winter's Bone, which was a cool little indie film.
I actually did see this. I ended up seeing it. It had been in the theaters for a while. And it's an excellent movie. It's a really cool indie film, and
For those of you that don't know what it is, it's an indie movie about a girl who is about to lose her home because of her father's bail bonds, I believe, and then she goes on a search to find her father.
It's really fascinating because it's like a gangster family movie that's set in like white trash, like Kentucky, Tennessee, where like crystal meth is the thing. It's really the young actress that's in it, she's amazing. It's really worth seeing, in my opinion. And it kind of, in the way that TV series on FX, I'm blanking on the name.
Justified
kind of does it more from the sheriff's perspective, and how that's sort of a real, you know, they call it the Kentucky Mafia and all that stuff, and that's sort of a real thing. Apparently, that's what this movie goes into, and the characters. It's a lot of no name actors in there, and they're amazing, and there's some like scary family, like there's this one grandfather, they're like, Tariff, don't talk to him, and he's great, he's a great villain, and it's really worth seeing. I've definitely recommend Winter's Bone.
Okay, so check that one out. And then actually on Blu-ray coming out, the Back to the Future trilogy with a bunch of extras, so you can get that all in one package.
Yes, and this downtown Bloomington has a big clock tower that looks like you could hook up a DeLorean to it and travel through time, so
sure does.
I recommend to anyone here, live or listening, come to Bloomington and travel through time, because it's really amazing. Comedy Addict, fights tauntauns. No, the Comedy Addict has a great time portal.
Yeah, it's great. Go anywhere you want and any when you want.
Anywhere.
Anyway.
All right, what else do we got? Oh. Yeah, I definitely want to get that for sure. I want to get the Back to the Future movies. Like, I don't know. I grew up with them. I thought there's great stuff.
Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah.
We have a couple movies coming out. Obviously, they're going to be horror movies for Halloween. Mm-hmm. Monsters is an independent movie from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And Neil already saw it. There's a review up on the site. And he said it was a good independent movie. But here's the problem. Same problem with Hereafter. Not a lot of monsters in it. Kind of an issue when you call the movie Monsters. It's alien invasion type movie where they have to go through behind alien lines that all these aliens have landed in Mexico. And they go through this, it's like a reporter and another girl, and the story is just them falling in love with some monsters in the background.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's just
so now, the interesting, Neil said it wasn't a bad movie, it's just not a monster movie, even though it's called Monsters.
So it'd be like if
well, Charlize Theron was in that movie, there were no monsters in it.
Right. It'd be like if in The Road he just met a really cool woman and they hung out in a bunker.
Yeah.
And it was really...
And there was no cannibals.
Yeah. Well, they were, but you never saw them.
Right.
You never saw
it's that. Cannibals. Yeah, it's that kind of movie. It's like there's just signs.
Yeah.
You beware of monsters and you just walk through. Just, all right, we didn't see
like
any.
A monster thing with like a circle and a red line through it. Like,
so...
Well, the cool thing about why we have a review up is we're actually starting to get advanced press screenings in LA, which is really cool because one of the things we've always wanted to do with the site is have our writers go see movies beforehand so that you guys can read reviews before they hit the theater. So
to make a decision on whether you're going to go see a movie or
not. Yeah, as opposed to just listening to us afterwards going, I kind of liked it, but
How everybody talks?
That's how everyone talks. That's my impression of everybody. My impression of the President Obama. We're America. That's my impression. It's good. I'm very good at it. I'm very skilled at my impressions. Just like I can do accents from any country.
Oh,
hello.
Yes.
Well, that one episode.
That was Sudanese.
Yeah, that was. That was the Sudan region of. I can do any name a country. I can do an impression of it. Yell it out.
Turkey.
Okay, I can do Turkey. Hey, I'm from Turkey. Yeah, that's the western part of Turkey. That episode, what episode was that? Was that with, I can't remember who we had on the show where I was doing all this, but it was Rob Hubel. And I kept going, hello, and all these dumb accents. And then a couple episodes after that, I kept
going. Somebody emailed too.
Yeah, somebody emailed. I think they were from the UK and they were like, love the show. Stop with the English accent, please. No more. Hello. So I'm stopping. Hello, Bloomington. Hello. That was my Mandarin Chinese. That's what that last song was.
Dialect, perfect.
Yeah, subtle regional dialects I'm doing, you guys.
So you would only know by going there.
Yes. So rent some movies and fucking travel.
And listen to dialects wherever you go.
Pay close attention to dialects. Vote with your dialects, you guys.
All right, last movie, another horror movie. And really, I'm pretty sure you know what you're getting into with this movie, Saw 3D. They stopped counting. They stopped counting
just,
the numbers.
You're either a fan of this series or you're not. It's one of those. By applause, how many people are going to go see this movie? Okay, right. You're on board.
You know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
There's no mystery. What's this going to be about? Is there going to be a saw in it?
Is someone going to be scared? I'm not sure. Yeah, you've seen all of them, right? Right. That's the deal. Like,
how many have there been?
48.
Six.
Six. Okay. Now.
Well, seven.
Seven.
See, you don't even know, and you've seen all of them. So this will be the seventh one. What was your favorite? Which one?
First one.
First one. Okay.
Yeah.
Least favorite. Which one?
The fifth.
Fifth. Yeah, that one sucked.
Why was the fifth one the shittiest one?
I don't know. It was just like. I mean, all these movies take place at the same time, but it was just stupid. Not that any of them wasn't stupid. I don't know, it's just the least amount of things took place.
Okay. Right. That was the breather episode of the Saw series. Oh, we can catch our breath on one.
It's like, of all the porn I've watched, this one's plot was the flimsiest. It just didn't make sense why her and her friend just showed up. It just, I didn't get it. The other ones, I know that...
Saw 5 just felt too contrived.
It just...
The other ones were just more organic.
Yeah, I know. It just felt natural that there's this guy that's got a weird mask and he's mad.
Killing people and then he beat cancer.
Yeah. I don't get that reference.
You know, never mind. The guy that he had cancer, so he was supposed to die in like the second or third, but he just kept living.
No, he died. It's just that he set up all these traps. Like no one.
Which one did he finally die in?
The third one.
Oh, the third one. Okay.
And then they had four more movies.
His traps live on forever.
Yeah. He has the new guy doing it now. Like, oh. He trained,
yeah. Oh, an apprentice. The Saw apprentice. Okay. Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Or an intern.
Who does their job right after their boss dies?
I know, right. Yeah.
That's what's that on. That's the true. That's the thing you're the disbelief you're not gonna suspend is there's no way that guy was trained enough to do that job.
He wouldn't be as good as
no
Jigsaw.
Fucking way.
There's no way.
Uh-uh. No way, dude. I call bullshit. That's awesome. Well, it's actually good we had a bit, because I've always wanted to actually talk to people that like this series and find out, like, what the fuck is your problem? Where did it go wrong for you mentally? No, but that's
well, cool. It went worse for Cary Elwes. He came back in a couple later ones.
He's in these movies?
He was in the first one, but he, which one did he come back in?
He did, this one.
This one. Okay.
Oh, this is
the
one. He's
one. Yeah.
Elwes is back.
It's like when that girl came back in the Nightmare for Elm Street movies. I've been through it. I can tell you what it's like to fight Freddy. And then she dies in the same episode.
I'm on. Okay. Are there any other...
No, that's pretty much it.
That's it? All right.
It's for Halloween weekend.
Halloween weekend. Yeah. Monsters and Saw 3D. So go get your torture porn.
Yeah.
Go get it, kids.
Or go see Monsters and just don't expect to see any monsters.
Go see Hereafter, and every time he touches someone's hands and there's the white light of the image, just go, ah! Just act like you're fucking freaking out.
Or go to Paranormal Activity 2, and every 10 minutes just go, I gotta go to a meeting.
You guys look like you're in a lot of trouble,
yeah,
but
yeah,
sorry.
In a meeting.
My review's coming up this quarter. All right.
Well, that's great.
That's our show.
That's our first
one.
You guys, thanks so much for coming out. This is our first live comedy club.
Yes, it was
show.
At a comedy club. You guys are awesome. You guys are so awesome. For the people listening at home, upcoming shows, we're both going to be in Visalia, California, November 6th.
Yes.
Which will be a fun show, and I'm sure you guys from Bloomington are going to make the road trip to Central California.
For one night.
It's a one-nighter.
Yeah.
But next weekend, I will be with Doug Benson at Sacramento State University, October 28th, and then the 30th, we will be doing a 420 show at the Punchline in San Francisco, and then Halloween, we'll be doing a 420 show at the Punchline in Sacramento. So if you're in any of those cities, make your travel plans, and we're going to put you into a Saw and murder you. Probably not the best way to sell that show.
People aren't going to come then. They're gonna come
to the show. You're going to be murdered.
They're not going to pay money to be murdered.
You never know, man. These guys that like the Saw series, maybe they'll be like, fucking let's do it. This is my day to die.
That won't even fit on a poster.
Let's do it. This is my day to die. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and as always, we appreciate your support. We tell everybody, too, is like, well, how can I support the podcast? Tell people about it. Go to the store. If you spend $20, with Christmas coming up, too, you spend $20 a year, that really helps and supports us.
We can
really
do this
appreciate
kind of stuff.
It.
Like this soundboard we bought because people...
Cost $10,000.
Yes.
We're not very good with our money.
We're really stupid. We bought it from a hooker. I don't know if that was the right idea. She said it was good.
So. We had to buy it, or she was going to put us in a very elaborate trap.
Yeah, she was going to... You're going to appreciate your dumb podcast more. Thank you, stripper hooker. I guess she's a stripper now. I don't know. I'm just rewriting the story. But
we appreciate that. Yes. So, and we, as always, we have Graham's CD, and we have Graham's gift pack, and I have Pacify Me, a handbook for the freaked out new dad, and my DVD. And we added some stuff. We have Jackie Cation's gift pack and Doug Benson's super gift pack with all of his stuff. And then we're going to be adding a lot of stuff, especially with, as you heard the interview, Christopher Alan Broadstone. You can get his book, his DVD, and short film downloads.
He's
on the site as well.
An amazing twisted.
Like we said, he's the next Clive Barker. Yeah, he's called the next Clive Barker.
His stuff is nuts. Like if you like Saw and that kind of shit, we played his stuff at a live show, and he almost walked the room because it was a Halloween episode. People
didn't expect that.
Neil loved it.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for your support. One more round of applause for all you guys and Jared and Dana here at the Bloomington Comedy Attic in Bloomington. My name's Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Boo!
Yay! That's fucking maniacal, that music.